services, Lavazzi and Boop1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 293. I'm Adam, and Doctor Who is required. And here's Debbie Melrose.
I'm no Deb's delight, you know.
Andy Nunny.
You've been working too hard. You've gone completely off your rocker.
Mary Lang.
And I'm going to do it better than you, Adam.
And Doctor, the lovely, wonderful,
who
gorgeous.
Is required.
Hang on. Oh, I see. Sorry, I thought you'd started. I thought that was your quote. I thought that it was your cult quote, Mary. I'm going to do it better than you, Adam. I didn't remember that being part of the script, but I thought that you really did honestly
Mary,
think that was your quote.
That,
Mary, do it again.
Yes, yes.
Do it again. Yes.
Doctor Who is required.
Like the twang.
I really did think that you'd try something different. Nicky, my one. And the lovely, the wonderful, the beautiful, the gorgeous Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
131.93. Yes, that's fair enough. Yes, it's truly remarkable.
And that's Kirby's impression of Votan. Because we couldn't really understand what he was saying. But never mind.
Seriously?
Why break the habit of a lifetime, Kirby, eh?
Do I need to reboot?
I guess you do. You're breaking up pretty badly.
Does rebooting really help? You get the first couple of seconds are great, and then the rest of it goes back
No, I'll reboot the router.
Oh, for God's sake. Do you realise I've got to get up for work at 4:30 tomorrow morning?
You're the one that told us to come on tonight.
I did, but I didn't expect to have to wait 20 minutes for Kirby to reboot. What did he say?
Give me.
No idea.
I have no idea. I can't hear him.
I'll be back in a minute.
Thank the Lord for small mercies. So what did you say, Mary, about Kirby?
I said, don't know. We can't hear him.
Is this his long-winded way of getting the Mac?
How's it going then, Andy? I saw a very recent picture of Stormageddon. He's so cute.
I know he's so cute.
Are you sure he's you're his father?
I beg your pardon. Excuse me. That's interesting because we just started teething.
Yeah, I know you did, but what about Stormageddon?
He's also recently started sucking his thumb, and he's doing it majority left-handed. So if he turns to be left-handed, that's interesting. Cause
that's all right,
there's no
left-handed.
Say again?
I'm left-handed.
Yeah, but what I mean is there's no real left-handedness in either of our family. I do certain things left-handed, but Dawn is totally right-handed. Perhaps Dawn's not a mother then. His mother then. Perhaps that's
that might be a bit tricky.
Yeah, does sucking on his left thumb indicate he's going to be left-handed?
I sucked my left thumb and I ended up left-handed.
Yeah. I can't remember which one I did, but it's interesting. Yeah. But no, he's doubled his birth weight. He's over a stone now. So he's getting quite big and he's got a heck of an appetite. And Dawn's going to start putting on solids soon.
Goodness
so,
sake. What's this? I just had an incoming call from somebody.
Well, who was it?
I don't know. They hung up.
Do 1471 and ring about them. But yeah, we had a nice time today. We've been out to Claremont Gardens, which is nearby, and wandered around there. And he didn't do it. He went to church this morning and joined in the sermon because
How do you turn these tones off? Sorry, Andy.
That's
I'm
all
having
right.
Skype issues. Oh.
Yeah.
I've just had a message off Kirby saying, bring me back into the call. Yeah. No, please, can you bring me back into the call? No.
Yeah.
Bring me back into the call, which I've just attempted to do, and he's not answering.
Adding Kirby.
You're doing
on.
It, are you? I can't do anything. I haven't got the. Oh, no, he's come back in again. How do I add him?
Kirby, are you on now?
No, you just hung up again.
Some interesting stuff going on Messenger.
I can't find Andy. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, he said he could see all of us, and I said, perv.
About time.
Yes.
Well, thank you for crashing my Skype.
Max, perfect.
Does it sound any better?
No. Right.
No, not really.
131.993. Yes, that's near enough. Yes, it's truly remarkable.
are you on about?
There you go. That's his quote.
Oh, sorry.
That's one of the questions gone through, Burton. I've written that down as well.
I wouldn't get too excited about the questions because I thought I had an old quiz about this particular episode somewhere on one of my iPads. I haven't, so I haven't done a quiz.
I have.
What?
Oh, no, I was going to say, yay! I've got the quiz because I did.
Debbie did it last time.
Yeah, that's why I predict Debbie's going to win.
Did you do the quiz? It can't have done if you said it was your first episode.
No, it's my first Hartnell episode.
So you did the quiz?
Yes.
Could you not have told me that a few days ago? So
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did. You put a message up, yeah.
Damn! I would have done a quiz.
I could have to answer the questions, Adam.
No, I'm not happy. Anyway, you haven't got a dinger, Debbie, so you can't do the quiz. Nah. Right then. You can't.
See, last time we did this when she came over to your house.
Well, she's not coming over to my house now, because I'm in my onesie. Right then. The story begins. This is the War Machines,
started,
by the way.
Finally?
The War Machines, by the way.
Can I have a ding sound, please?
Which onesie?
The white TARDIS onesie.
Oh,
Siri, can I have a ding sound, please?
You git.
Anyway, right. We're talking about War Machines, listeners, by the way. Yes, the story begins with the... Oh, damn, I've just pressed the stop button. No, it doesn't start with me pressing the stop button. No, sorry.
At least you discovered it now.
The story begins with the TARDIS landing in London 1966 and the Doctor having to hang an out of order sign on the TARDIS because the police might think it's a police box. Although, I don't think they were using police boxes in 1966 anyway. And, of course, they see the lovely post office tower, the nicely, freshly built post office tower. And they're immediately, even though the Doctor gets a feeling that there's something evil in there, they're allowed in to meet this smarmy posh bloke who tells them all about this marvellous Votan. Sorry, Votan.
Votan.
Yeah.
Votan. That again.
Votan. Yeah, and
I'll post it twice. Why it's
does it matter?
Not, yes, it does.
Shut up. Not long after the Doctor and Dodo leave, because Dodo starts getting slightly taken in by Votan's telepathic abilities, they meet Polly and grumpy Ben at the Inferno Club, is it? I think it's called.
Yes,
yeah. Inferno, yes. Yeah.
And there's a quite amusing little... potential scrap between Ben and
why is Ben in uniform? I mean, you know, presumably if he's going out, you know, he's sort of off duty, he'd put some civilian clothing on. So what?
No,
you know,
you tend to get a discount if you turn up in uniform.
Yes.
All right.
But no, I did enjoy the little fight between
the wife and Ben. Yeah. 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 Into little pieces.
Very amusing. Yeah. So yeah, not long after that, of course. Votan takes over the scientists within the lab.
Professor Brett and Major Green.
But I think Major Green. One of them, one of the scientists, resists.
Crimpton, yes.
Crimpton, yeah, he resists.
That was going to be one of my quotes. I am human. There is nothing more important than human life. Machines cannot govern man. Oh, yes, okay, I'll be overpowered by Votan.
That was going to be another quote of mine.
Yeah.
So anyway, they take over.
You completely skipped over the press conference, which has the American reporter. It's such a stereotype.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh, don't worry about that. The amount of stereotypes that the Americans do on the Brits, I think, a one tiny little stereotype.
Gum chewing.
I'm sorry. I think the Americans win hands down on this stereotyping of Brits, so it doesn't... you've got no argument. Yes?
Looking at the laboratory at the top, or wherever it is supposed to be in the post office tower, there's no way that where they're coming in from an elevator that they could fit into the post office tower, because the elevator says, first of all, there's only two lifts in the building, and they're in the middle, and they're showing the rounded building, but it just doesn't work. I think I said that last time, too.
You probably did, and we didn't care that time either.
Yeah. Right, then. Yeah, so we shouted you down then, we'll do it again.
Yes, so Votan starts taking over people via telephone. Dodo is one of the people that Votan takes over.
He's already had a little go at her when she was up in the office asking about what does TARDIS mean.
Yeah, that irritated me a little bit. But only a little bit.
Master?
Oh, God. Yes?
I hope you noticed the little the picture I posted dealing with my quote of the doctor being very impressed by asking Votan a square root of 17,422. And then I asked, hey, okay, Google, and got a much more precise answer in less time and without having it go on paper.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Ask Siri, what is the square root of 17,422?
72422.
17,422.
17,422. Shut up, 17422. Hey, Siri. What's the square root of 17,422?
Checking. It looks like the answer is approximately 131.992.
Hey, round it up.
Yes, that's near enough.
It's close.
Siri rounded it down.
Yeah, I was going to say, rounded it up a point.
Anyway, can we get back to the blimmin' story, for goodness sake? Yeah, so Votan very quickly starts taking over humans and has an evil plan. And that plan is to take over the world. It's unusual. Hey?
Better than a cunning plan.
Yeah. We meet a tramp who...
Yes.
Yeah, surprisingly has a whatever the coin is.
Dies for some reason or other.
Quid, yeah.
A quid, yeah. I mean, a tramp has a quid, huh?
What is a quid?
Pound.
Okay.
Anyway, the doctor befriends the pompous Sir. What's his name again?
Charles.
Sir Charles, that's it. Very pompous Charles.
Very pompous.
Normally the doctor doesn't get on with, future doctors don't get on with such pompous people as Sir Charles. Right. But in this
they really sort of try and out-pompous each other, don't they, in this one?
Yeah, they do.
Meanwhile, Dodo tries to encourage the doctor to take a phone call. doesn't really do much to the doctor apart from giving him a bit of a headache. At this point, the doctor realises that Dodo's had her brain washed. And we see the first bit of Time Lord sort of hypno power.
But, look at my ring.
I'd rather not at the moment, Debbie. Not while we have company. Right. So yes. And that's a very weird way for Dodo to go out of the store.
Been and gone.
Yeah, that was it. That was her last scene. No goodbye, doctors. Or I've loved travelling with you.
With Polly at the end.
Yeah. Oh, I will miss you, doctor. None of that. It's just that's it.
And it's a shame because she was kind of irritating up into this story. Then during this story is when I actually began to like her.
Yes.
Typically you, Mary. just wait till you meet Tegan. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, Tegan and I would get along, yes.
So, yeah. Sorry, I'm paraphrasing here. So Ben is initially turned into a bit of the action hero, isn't he? He's very much the hands-on character. And he goes down to investigate the headquarters of this war machines factory. Mm-hmm. But it's not long before he gets caught by a war machine. And it's interesting that the war machine's guns look a little bit sort of like Dalek guns.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And
they work, Master?
Yes?
Master? They work just like last week guns, being fire extinguishers.
Yes, they do. They are fire extinguishers.
Yes. Well, so the ones from the story we did last week.
Yes. Well, I forgot to mention...
The light guns.
I forgot to mention that Polly had been taken over by Votan and... she has a bit of a fight with Ben, but somewhere on the line, she can't let them kill him. for some reason.
No, yeah, it's like she's not been programmed properly.
No, no, it's because they've only just signed the contract to do the next few episodes of Doctor Who, and it'd be a bit silly to kill off Ben in the first episode. Well, third episode, or whatever it may be. So she persuades him not to kill her because he might be able to do some work for her. I do love the way that Annika Wills talks, her sort of facial sort of movements. And I don't know, something about it, I find that really cute. Yeah. Anyway, so got slightly sidetracked. Did you know she was married to Michael Goth, who played
the
celestial toy maker? And
no.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, no, my impression of him is he's a lot older.
He was a lot older, yes.
Ooh,
and she had an affair with Anthony Newley. Anthony Newley she had an affair with as well, didn't she? Do you know who Anthony Newley is? Newley is? He's married to Joan Collins.
Newley? No,
yes.
You know who Anthony Newley is, then? Are you saying you didn't or you do?
Come on. Heard the name.
Did you know, Debbie, who Anthony?
No, I recognise the name vaguely, but no idea.
Hey, Siri, who's Anthony Newley? Hey, Siri, wakey, wakey.
Siri, wake up, you dog.
Looking. One option is wakey, wakey on station gate in Basildon.
Shut up.
Is that the one you're looking for?
Shut up. Hey, Siri.
Siri has an attitude for me.
Hi there, Adam.
Who is Anthony Newley? That's got you stumped, hasn't it?
Oh, God,
who is Anthony Newley?
All right,
he was an English act, singer and songwriter.
Oh, God's sake.
Newley achieved success performer in such diverse fields, rock and roll.
Yeah, I'm sure that would have been fascinating if you actually could hear what you were saying, Kirby. Yeah, so we're back to the story.
He did the score of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Polly starts showing signs of...
Did you hear me?
No, shush.
It's hard to hear you.
Polly starts showing signs of sort of... not quite being conditioned enough, I think you'd say, in this episode. Meanwhile, the Doctor comes up with a plan of creating this electromagnetic field, or was that in the next episode, to capture one of the war machines?
That's the next episode.
That's the next episode. So we are moving forward, because we have already done this story. And I love the end of episode three, when the Doctor's standing there with his hand on his lapels and gets approached by the war machine.
Yes.
Yeah, you wonder, what could he possibly do?
Yes. Right, so that's the end of episode. I hope that's episode three. Otherwise,
Notice that when they're running around stockpiling weapons in that they're including rifles in that stockpile? And I'm thinking, well, what good are the rifles?
Yeah.
Machines can't use them, and the machine makes rifles inactive, so... Yeah, why are they running around... stockpiling rifles.
You mentioning rifles just reminded me of a scene from one of the X-Men movies when Wolverine just slices someone's rifle in half with his clawy sort of handy thing. Isabella was watching one of the X-Men movies the other day. I haven't seen any of them myself. Anyway, yeah, so the war machine goes on a rampage, and like I said, the Doctor...
it's really terrifying, isn't it? You know, the Covent Guard, it's smashing cardboard boxes out of the way. It's, and then knocking dustbins over. I mean, I'd have been crapping myself if I'd seen that coming towards me.
Dear me.
I'd have a good laugh.
Anyway, meanwhile, we see a friend of the show, the late, great Kenneth Kendall, on the telly in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at the time, he hardly remembered doing it. But he was very convincing as a newsreader then, wasn't he, Debbie? Oh, you're probably too young to remember Kenneth Kendall as a newsreader.
I remember him.
You remember him as a newsreader.
I'm older than you, don't forget.
Yes. Only a little bit, Andy.
About a year older.
Yeah. What else happens? War machines kill some people. The Doctor plots to overcome them. When he catches the one in its little electromagnetic trap, he reprograms it.
You mean the
boxing ring?
Yeah, the little ropes. Yeah. Ooh.
I think you're a bit too old to do this, Doctor. Yes. I'm going to do it.
So he reprograms it to go and attack Votan. Ben realises that Polly's up in the tower and wants to go and rescue her, which he does. And Polly and Ben go to see the Doctor to deliver the message from Dodo that she's not coming with him. and go away and realise they had a key, didn't they? And they go in and vroop, vroop, vroop. off they go. And that is essentially the war game. Sorry, it's a bit quick, that particular synopsis. I've got to get to bed soon. And we've already sort of not synopsized
your idea. It was your idea we do it tonight.
No. I still would have synopsized it. In fact, I intend to do a much quicker synopsis of it anyway. Anyway, right, this is what I think of this story. This is great, this story. It really is. The only thing I find irritating is the Doctor Who is required bit, blah, blah, blah. But the more times you watch it, the more time you just gloss over it or just put your fingers in your ears. It's a really, really good story. Atmospheric. It's got a large cast of extras, which sort of brings a bit of depth to it. It's the old robot thing is, sorry, not robot, the master computer thing is something that's appeared in science fiction before then and since then, but works really well in this story.
It's very Colossus project.
Yeah, but on the whole, it's really, really good.
Did you understand me?
Yes. It's really, really good. Be quiet. I'm just saying how good it is. Stop talking over my praise of this story. I love Ben and Polly, and it's nice to have them with this Doctor, because they actually weren't in Doctor Who for very long. So I'm looking forward to seeing Smugglers next week, because I've never seen it, and I've only heard it once. So it'd be like watching a new Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of hard to see it.
Shut up, Kirby. So yes, I liked it very much. What did you think of it this time, Mary?
Huh? She's usually left.
Shut up.
We're mixing it up a bit.
I guess we are. Although I have, a lot of things to say that are going to sound, like I didn't like it, I actually did like it. Didn't quite get into it. But I never did understand, since I can't go back to the mindset of the 1960s, how scary these machines must have been to the viewers. Because as Andy said, it's just going around knocking over a lot of boxes. And even when it shoots at somebody, it misses them, but they still go, and fall over. So if I were even a 10-year-old watching it then, I would say, these machines are stupid.
It's such a subject.
And the Doctor looks more like a magician in this story than the Doctor, because it seems like he waves his arms and the machines behave. The one pops down while waving his arms. The other one goes inside those ropes because he's waving his arms in such a way. And that whole rope thing. I mean, what makes a machine go inside a tiny little circle of ropes when he could be shooting down Ben and all the soldiers that are just a couple feet away from him? Why isn't he just shooting at them?
So you liked it then, Mary?
And there is some controversy over, like, when Ben takes the Doctor's cloak, it looks like he drags it over the machine, knocking a piece of the machine off. But what I've read is what really happened is that this is how they get the key, because Ben takes the Doctor's cloak, mm-hmm. and then what rattles to the ground as he drags the cloak away is the key.
Yeah, that he tries to give it back, but he gets distracted, doesn't he?
Right.
That, I missed that completely.
There are people saying that, it was Dodo that had the key, but she didn't. Ben had it all along.
Yeah.
Okay. Trying to think if there's anything else that I would say. As much as I found a lot of it laughable, I still got into it. So, yeah, I enjoyed this one.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. Okay.
What did you think then, Andy?
No, I quite enjoyed it. It's, I've got to admit, the war machines themselves aren't exactly terrifying. As I said, they knock over cardboard. And also, you think the way they design, they haven't really got a really good peripheral vision, have they? As we just pointed out, when they go into the cable box and bend over to die hand, you thought they'd have the vision, whatever it would be, actually could turn. No, shut up, Kirby, I'm talking. You're going a bit.
There's one point where you could...
Yay! I thought William Hartnell was very, very good. I mean, the bit at the end of the episode where he actually stood in front of the war machine, actually stopped it dead in its tracks, I thought it was really good, because he just shows he's in sole charge. And I think this was really him at his... I'm surprised you think at this point in time his health was probably going, which is why he's so close to the end of it. And yet he really was being imperious as the Doctor, so I was really impressed with him as well. I thought Polly was quite good. I quite enjoyed her. I thought the various civil servants, and being a civil servant myself, I thought that was actually quite... yeah, they were quite stereotypical, weren't they? But quite amusing. But no, I actually thoroughly enjoyed it. And Stormageddon, he watched a bit of it with me. And Dawn watched a bit of it with me and quite enjoyed it as well. So I think for the old Hartnell Black and White, this is one of the good ones, yeah. Kirby, you're in no tea.
You're going in, Kirby. You'll have to do your piece now, because otherwise you're not going to get a chance to speak.
Oh. Can you hear me?
Yes, come on, speak.
What I was trying to say there was they actually have pretty good vision, because there's one point where one of the machines is running over some debris, and you can see the operator inside stand up and look out the little eye slit. You can see ahead very clearly. So they do have a good vision. I love this one. I've loved this one ever since I got the DVD, however many years ago it was. It's fun.
It is indeed.
And I love the end of the third episode when the Doctor is standing there in front of the War Machine. That is, to me, the ultimate First Doctor scene.
Is he still there?
I don't know.
Yes.
Is that are you basically saying you liked it? Yes. Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Can I say something before we're completely done?
Yeah.
Did anyone notice that the outfit the Doctor was wearing, the last time he wore this outfit was in Unearthly Child. So I'm just wondering if this is his 1960s London outfit.
Sorry, my other Mac has just made a funny noise.
I've posted before. I can find it again. That hat of his, that kind of furry hat. Is he wearing that in this episode? In the story?
Yes.
Yeah. That I found online the original sales brochure for that hat from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very 60s hat.
I tell you what, it's going to be really, really weird when we can finally one day understand what Kirby's saying, won't it?
Kirby gets a good computer.
Yeah.
It's not a computer.
Debbie?
It's the internet connection.
What did you think?
Loved it.
Okay, right then. So who have we had so far? Go on then.
Would you like me to use my phone instead?
If your phone's better, then yes, it might be a good idea.
I understand you better.
Okay, I'm going to hang up. You call me back try and join again in a minute.
I might be able to. The little call windows reappeared. It was hiding behind my Lightroom. I don't know how that happened, but there you go. Oh, he's gone. Right, then now we can talk about him.
Quick. Well, Deb, what were you going to say?
She's laughing about something. I don't know what.
I really loved it. It was just brilliant to watch again, and I've watched it again. So I've watched it twice this week, and I really like it. I think it's funny, and there's some really good ideas. The whole idea of the computers taking over the world, when it was like an original kind of idea rather than getting a bit boring, and yes, everybody's heard about that. And just as the use of the new scenery in London, and it was really good of its time, definitely, especially with the dancing.
There wasn't a lot of location Doctor Who in these days, so it was nice to see.
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, yes, we were back in London, but it was been nice because we've been off-world for quite a lot. So it's nice that we've been off-world, because the current run of the New Who is all based in London, if not. Yeah, and it's just like it's nice to be back, but I do think it's a bit. I understand obviously why the character left, but Dodo just going like that, it's against character, completely against character. Her just going quietly into that good night, I'm looking forward to seeing how Ben and Polly. I nearly said Ben and Holly. That's a kids' program over here. Pan out, because I've not seen any of them, any who with them as companions at all. Not seen it. So looking forward to the next one.
But I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this episode, and the war machines are hysterically, brilliantly bad. But the whole idea, quite scary. So,
nope.
Thank you, pardon.
There. Wow. Is that any better?
Yes.
Yes, lots better.
Did you have to do that beep? What the...
Oh, it's gone again.
It wasn't Adam.
Well, maybe I should just do it this way every time.
That's what she said.
Yes, maybe you should.
Right. Well,
and that will allow me to actually use my computer and not worry about things.
Yes.
See, I'm connected. I've got the computer on, but I've now simply connected my phone to the cellular network.
Now you can look up anything you like.
Yes, simultaneously.
Anyway, right. Yes, so, thank you. That essentially, I think.
What did I miss? He's
just saying how much I loved it.
Yeah.
Did you?
Basically, yeah.
You'll have to repeat everything you said.
Good. Shut up, Kirby. Right. I was going to do feedback, but I don't have anything. And I know Ian Kirk sent something because he sent me.
Yes, he did.
I haven't got anything. Yes. Nothing arrived.
What? We've got it written down.
It's on Facebook.
It may be on what, the audio's on Facebook?
No.
I haven't got an email. It's not, for some reason, Gmail has not given me the email. I really don't understand why, but it ain't here. Pardon?
Look again.
I'm looking again. It's not here. I've got Emma's Young Juge. Please let me know if I can displan with you. I've got another one, Pranav Shah. Please send me your bank details. I've got Anchor Sherman 1, talking in what looks like Portuguese, and Vegas Kodjigum, talking in something like Spanish or something like that. So I haven't got anything from Ian Kirk, apart from the script that was sent on Facebook.
Well, have Deb read the script. It's indeed. Not very long.
Come on,
Debbie. That's what she said.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up because I put a post early on this week asking for feedback. I was just seeing if anybody had replied to that, but no, they hadn't, other than Kirby saying that he thought it was the whack machines.
So do you think we should abandon the feedback section of the show because nobody seems to want to?
No. Keep going.
Well, nobody seems to want to send anything in.
They're interested in Classic Who, but I don't think a lot of people can find the time to watch.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, instead of abandon it, we'll just say that if people want to send feedback in the show, we'll do a special feedback show. That means we won't have to do one. And if you want to send it into the special feedback show, it's too...
Well, yeah, some people can do it sometimes and some people can't. So keep going. Faster. Don't lose this.
If anybody wants to write into the show, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. But as of now, we do not take in feedback. Thank you. Yes, Kirby.
We will.
No, we won't.
We'll take in feedback.
No, we won't.
I will.
No, you won't.
We will read Ian's bits.
I beg your pardon?
I provided quite a bit of feedback.
Anyway, thank you everybody who's contributed. Shush, I'm talking. Thank you to everybody who's contributed to feedback over the last 293 episodes. But we have to move on. I've got things I need to do, and I don't need to be.
I posted several things about the war machines.
But we still can converse on the 20 megabyte. Can I finish my bloody sentence?
I think we should keep feedback coming in.
Listen, let me finish my sentence. We can still converse about the subject on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. But it's clear that the feedback side of the show has been dying a death for the last 50 episodes.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
It's only been when we switch back.
We've gone for three episodes. And
when we switch back to the old stuff, we lose a lot of people doing feedback because a lot of people don't have the time to watch episode after episode.
We'll bring back feedback when the new series starts. There we go.
Right.
Okay.
Keep sending feedback in, people.
No. There's no point. Yes. There's no point. Nobody sends in feedback. That was a pointless statement. See, keep sending it in. I've been saying that for 292 episodes.
Billy, Reese, Robert.
Yeah,
anybody
they don't. It doesn't happen.
come through,
I appreciate your efforts, Debbie, but you're asking in vain.
Robert, Paul,
anybody?
No. Yes, forget about feedback. We're probably the only podcaster in the country that doesn't get feedback. No offence, Ian. You've been amazing for the last few years.
Keep going,
I think,
Ian.
Keep it coming, Ian.
Shut up.
War Machines by Ian Stuart Black. We meet Posh Polly with her unfeasibly large eyelashes.
I wonder what he was going to say for a minute then.
And not that then. Computers linked up around the world. We have that now, and it almost works, except for Kirby's audio. They have voting machines.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, funny enough.
They have voting machines in America. In the modern world, in the modern world, the way computers attack humans is through their utility bills.
True.
This is the first pompous government official on the show, and the first time the lead character is called by the name Doctor Who. Brackets, drive time, music, click, close brackets. It's a bit short again this week. Thanks, Ian.
That's what she said.
Yes, that was good, wasn't it?
That was excellent.
Yes. But if the audio ever does arrive, of course we will play it.
Hello, Twenty Mega Byte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. The War Machines by Ian Stuart Black. We meet Posh Polly with her unfeasibly large eyelashes, and Ben. Not that Ben. Computers linked up around the world. We have that now, and it almost works, except for Kirby's audio. They're voting machines in America. In the modern world, the way computers attack humans is through their utility bills. This may be the first pompous government official on the show, and the first time the lead character is called by the name Doctor Who.
Keep your mind on your driver, keep your hands on the wheel, and keep your stupid eyes on the road ahead. We're having fun, sitting in the back seat, kissing and a-hugging with Fred.
That was the Avons. For listener Dr. Phil Cerner. I'm gone now. Bye bye.
What I do have.
Kirby put up the opening time to the post office tower.
What I do have is Ian Kirk's original audio from the last time we did War Machines. Shall I play that instead? Hang on. Don't sure. play it yet. Yeah. That's by way of making up for it. So here we go.
Hello, 20 Big Man Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Voyager 1 has crossed the heliopause and left the solar system. The real Voyager, not Star Trek. They've put that thing where the sun don't shine. It's the World Cup in Brazil. Buenos dias. Bonjour. Hello, sailor. The War Machines by Ian Stuart Black. Ever since the surprise popularity of the Daleks, it seems Doctor Who kept trying again with other robots, such as the Mechanoids and the Quarks. Mustn't call the Daleks robots, this isn't eBay. Wotan has a mixture of 20th and 21st century technology, a teletype, and voice recognition. I think when Wotan knows what TARDIS means, that is hinting at its strange telepathic powers, reading Dodo's mind. Doctor Who should have put Windows 8 on that thing, that would bring it to a shuddering halt. We have a TV news broadcast to tell part of the story, a thing that Russell T. Davis was also fond of. There were later several films about mad computers taking over. The Forbin Project, HAL 9000, Skynet, The Matrix. Polly is controlled by the machine, but manages to fight it, like Yvonne Hartman, the head of Torchwood London, who fights against being a Cyberman. The Doctor might be using his mental powers when he knows the first War Machine has run out of programming. It is bizarre when he fights the second War Machine by getting into an improvised boxing ring with it. Dodo went for a little lie down in episode 2 and is never seen again. So it is hello Polly, hello Sarah. Polly's terribly posh and Ben isn't. It's Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke all over again.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Mary makes your heart so light.
You haven't changed a bit, have you?
When the day is grey and ordinary, Mary makes the sun shine bright.
Oh, honestly.
Bye for now.
Thank you from a couple of years ago, Ian. Oh, yeah, when was that sent? That was sent on the 15th of June 2014.
Did I do feedback for that as well? That's about the time of my birthday.
Yeah, isn't that awful? We have to recycle feedback.
I wondered, did I do any, Adam?
We're not that desperate.
No, we didn't. No, I'm afraid we didn't get any feedback off of you. Do you want to send some in now?
Master?
Yes.
I did attempt some feedback this time by posting a couple of videos about the post office tower. And also, since I didn't get a chance to comment very much while you were running through the story this time, I noted that the director of the War Machines, Michael Ferguson, started in Doctor Who by waving a very famous plunger in front of the camera while he was an assistant floor manager for the Daleks.
I saw you posted that. That's brilliant.
Saw that. Uh-huh.
Okay.
There.
Thank you, Kirby. Now, it's not feedback. I'll tell you what, if we're going to recycle feedback, I'm going to send Debbie a bit of feedback. This will test you, reminding me of what I had to do many years ago. Oh, damn, I just opened up Safari.
Would you want me to do the questions from the last one as well?
No, I wanted to do new ones. I've got no chance because I didn't know I was going to be doing participating in the quiz this week, and I haven't got a piece of paper on me, so you can't do it. Sorry.
I've got a piece
yes.
of paper.
What,
do
you mean,
it.
Yes.
No, don't do it.
Yes.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No,
well,
don't do
it. Effort you've gone to it, Debbie, and Mary doesn't want you to do it. Yeah. Right, what's she called again? Debbie Melrose, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
New message. Deborah Melrose.
There Where you are you sending it?
Facebook Messenger. Here it comes. There we go.
Got it.
Got it.
Who's this from?
Somebody called Robert Haynes.
Robert, oh my God.
And he was Adam. Sent originally... It's a Robert Haynes feedback. It was sent originally on the 10th of April. arrived on the 17th of April, 2011.
It's an essay.
5 years old, this bit of feedback is.
It's an essay.
It's not. Is this what Robert's feedback is? One of his shorter feedbacks, actually.
Okay.
Are we going to have a quiz?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Debbie's going to win
it. It's simple. It was in the olden days before I got nasty with quiz questions.
Oh, is that good?
Hi, Adam, Ben, Alicia, and Isabel.
I mean, Alicia. What's this? Alicia doesn't say that. There's Alicia up there.
Alicia. But okay. Alicia is how I read it first time ever, and it still comes out like that. I do apologise.
Not good enough.
Well done on your 50th show last week. Aww.
We've done that many?
Yeah. Three listeners. Just thought that I'd send in my thoughts and ramblings on the War Machines. It's probably one of the better Hartnell stories coming at the end of the third series, and only two stories towards the end of his Doctor. It's based on an idea by Kit Pedler, originally developed by BBC staff writer Pat Dunlop, who is uncredited, before being given to Ian Stuart Black. It received ratings of about 5 million an episode. You could tell there was nothing else on in those days.
I can't see that. It didn't say that bit. I can't see that.
No, I was just commenting.
Oh.
The post office tower had been completed in July 1965, and script editor Jerry Davis could see this from where he lived in London, which is why it ended up being featured. I reckon that it's a pretty cool-looking building and is memorable for me for being knocked over by... Twinkles the Kitten in the Goodies episode Kitten.
Oh, yes.
I love that.
Oh, that's excellent, that one is, yeah.
Goody, goody, yum. When the Doctor and Dodo first look at the tower, Doctor Who says, there's something alien about that tower. I can scent it instead of sense it. Bless his little Hartnellisms. It's nice to see a...
It doesn't say that either.
It does say that, yeah. Oh. It's nice to see a contemporary setting, the only Hartnell story other than Planet of Giants and various little bits such as the beginning of an unearthly child and Ian and Barbara in the chase at the end. Annika Wills was 24 at the time and married to the late celestial toy maker Michael Gough,
I'll just say this.
Then, who only three stories ago had appeared. Wills had in 1963 been previously auditioned for the role of Susan. Oh, she wouldn't have been good at that. Too feisty. I thought that Doctor Who and Dodo had pretty quick and easy access to the post office tower of Votan from the get-go.
I said that.
Funny how Votan starts up his trouble when Doctor Who and Dodo arrive and all the plans go into action. One thing is never explained is how Votan knows what the initials TARDIS stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the Inferno nightclub a really cool, hip and happening joint? Love the dancing. Oh, we really see Doctor Who there. Nice early prototype of the internet at the press conference, describing Votan linking up with other computers worldwide. At the end of episode one, we have the first instance of the Doctor being called Doctor Who. Doctor Who is required.
Doesn't say that, does it?
Bring him here. It says it here.
Oh.
Bit of violent fighting with Ben and Polly's admirer in the nightclub.
Oh, wow. It's only swinging London, wasn't it?
Didn't know Ben had an admirer.
It's due to a lot of the violent scenes that it was censored in Australia and New Zealand. Ealing Studios made for a pretty convincing warehouse. Although the idea for pronouncing Votan as Votan is because of its name coming from the Germanic name for the chief Anglo-Saxon god, as it's just an addition, surely it would just be Wotan. Yes, I know. I thought that it was funny that when the war machine first tests its weapon, it fires and misses the man, yet he falls down dead anyway. There's poor continuity with the numbering of the war machine that menaces Ben, with its numbers between 3 and 9, most noticeably. Yes, I thought that was clever. It's interesting to note that director Michael Ferguson held the sucker arm at the end of the Daleks, making him really the first Dalek scene.
Geez, someone mentioned that recently.
Bless you. He later directed The Ambassadors of Death, which saw a lot of fighting like the action scene in this story. There's also not much music throughout this story too, quite a contrast when compared with New Who. The battle between war machines and the army is almost a prototype of the kind of action we'd see later with UNIT. Dodo receives a very poor send-off. After her de-hypnotising, she's sent somewhere to rest. She's not seen from the end of episode 2 and is informed by Polly, I think that means the Doctor's informed by Polly, that she's decided to not continue her travels with Doctor Who at the end of episode 4. She only really had 4 whole stories, appearing at the end of the massacre and only the 2 episodes of this story. The war machines are pretty crap enemies. Too bulky and slow. They even sped up the film, technically undercranking, to make the war machine appear to be fast moving at one point, so we know otherwise. They need a lot of room to manoeuvre. If you just snip the magnetic tape on its outside, they'd be stuffed. Before the war machine is captured, Doctor Who goes into the workman's tent, which is magically bigger inside
than... Doctor Who? Who's Doctor Who?
I don't know. Doctor Who has to stoop to enter, yet has plenty of room to stand inside. The war machine does well to get to the top of the post office tower, doesn't it? A bit of poetic justice when it ends up destroying Votan. Some nice ideas in this story and some good action, and it was great to see a contemporary Hartnell story. It's one that I don't mind rewatching, which is more than I can say about something like The Web of Planets.
Thank you, Robert.
Been looking up about the new series. Lots of things brought up, like Cybermen redesigned in Egyptian tombs. I was waiting for that. Cybermat's back. Multiple TARDIS, or should that be TARDI? Something to do with cloning, the story of the Doctor's wife during a physical embodiment of the TARDIS, some Tarans at the end of episode 7. If you look at the trailer for the series, you can see tally marks, like when you make 4 marks and cross it to make 5 on Amy River, and there's a photo of Arthur Darvill with tally marks on him too. Ooh, wonder what that's all about. I've forgotten. Apparently there is a new toy being released this year called a resurrection casket. Interesting. Does the Doctor get shot and need resurrecting? I've read very positive reviews of the first 2 episodes, which were deliberately kept vague. 2 more weeks. I can't wait. For the first time, I feel so much anticipation. This is the first time I've had internet to look up info about the series, and a lot of it is really just speculation, but it's hyped me up. There's loads more. Do you want me to keep going?
There's not that much more.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that Doctor Who magazine doesn't release much information before each series now, which is good. That's changed. Also, someone noticed that in the last Weeping Angel episodes that the emblem on Rivers and the cleric's outfits, the camouflage ones, have a Greek Omega symbol on their arms with Roman numeral 2s. Anything to do with Omega, perhaps?
No.
I guess we'll just...
No, I wish that it had been.
See? Keep up with the good work.
Omega!
Offering all the best, Robert.
How do you feel after reading that out then, Debbie?
Like I need a drink.
Yes, that was one of his lighter bits of feedback. The reason why we got him on the show is just so I didn't have to read all that stuff out. Okay.
Very thorough.
It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Or should I say, I won't get this one.
Are you doing the whole, oh, I won't win because I'm not doing the thing?
Right, so who's keeping track of the scores then?
Me.
Oh, good Lord, this is going to be a nightmare. Go on then.
Why is it going to be a nightmare?
I don't like sitting at this side of the proceedings.
I've only actually got 18 questions, but I have got so many notes I can make a new one.
Oh, for goodness sake.
God. Okay.
Yes.
Adam.
Should we predict who's going to win?
I'm not awarding myself points. I'm doing this old school.
Go on, then. We still should predict who's going to win, though. I reckon Debbie's going to win. No, I'm only joking.
Yeah, I can. Debbie will. Debbie.
I think I've got all the answers.
Right. Okay. I'm going to predict that Kirby's going to win.
I'm going to predict Adam will win. Not Adam. I'm sorry. Andy.
Thanks, Mary.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mary. Kirby? I love a vote of confidence.
Adam will win.
There, we've all picked somebody different.
No, we didn't. Oh, we did.
Yes, you did. Right, okay, Mary.
Yes.
What does the Doctor hang on the TARDIS?
I know.
A out of order sign.
Yes, ding! Kirby.
Master.
Who provided the original idea for the war machines?
I know.
Kit Pedler.
Ding! Andy.
Hello.
What does Votan stand for?
I have no idea.
I know.
Okay, Kirby.
Will operating thought and a log.
Yay!
That reminds me of Linda.
Ding. Right. Adam.
Oh, I get one eventually.
Yeah. Easy one. What is the tower called?
It's called the Post Office Tower, but now it's called the Telecom Tower.
Ding. Mary.
Yes.
When is sea day?
When is sea day?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah, I've got it written. You beat me to
it. Is it 6 weeks from now?
What?
Okay.
Who said I know?
Kirby.
16th July?
Yes.
The question is that I believe they're saying it's a Monday or something like that?
Yes, that's right. Monday, July the 16th.
And the thing is that would put it at like 1973 or something like that.
Yeah, we worked that out last time, didn't we?
Yes, I noticed something, though, that I... The last episode of this story was 16th July. But that would have been a Saturday.
Anyway, back to the quiz. It's
broadcast on... Yes, okay, fine.
Kirby, your question.
Master?
What does Votan suggest should be built?
War machines.
Brilliant. Ding. See, I told you these were easy questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
How much does the tramp tip the taxi?
I know.
He doesn't got any money.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know.
Hey, Adam.
Pound.
No.
He doesn't, no.
Oh. Where does a pound come from, then?
He needs change for that pound.
Okay.
It's half a crown.
Okay. So nobody got that one, then?
Nobody got that one. Was that your question, Adam?
No, it was mine.
It was mine.
Adam?
Yes?
What paper is the Doctor reading?
Ooh. That's an Adam question.
Yeah, it is a me question. Daily Telegraph?
Kirby?
The Times.
Yay!
And when I saw that, I thought... Oh, tomorrow's Times.
Yeah.
From Five Doctors.
Shall we do a score update?
Well, I'm bottom.
Oh, I'm bottom.
Last place is Andy with no points. And joint second place with 2 points is Mary and Adam. And in the lead with 7 points is Kirby.
What did I tell you?
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him, yeah. Right, Mary.
Yes.
During the initial testing of the war machine, what distance is it effective at?
30 feet.
Bing. Kirby, nice, easy one.
Master?
What does Ben call Polly?
Duchess.
Yay. Bing. Andy.
All right.
Oh, God, sorry, Andy. At what bearing does Ben hide in the warehouse?
Hang on. 15 degrees.
No. Anyone?
No.
Mm. Like no? A ball bearing?
It was bearing 250 degrees.
Right.
Right.
Right. Adam?
Yes?
What does Crimpton declare the object of the attack to be?
What? That's a strange sentence structure.
What does Crimpton declare the object of the attack to be? He says the object of the attack is...
Yeah. Okay. To be. Okay.
Yeah. Adam?
To take over...
Yeah.
London.
No.
And the world.
No.
All right, go on then.
Anybody else?
No.
To take over strategic centres and assume control of all human authority.
Bloody hell.
Mm. Should we say that? Oh, okay, Crimpton says it. I was Crimpton thinking maybe Votan says it. Says it.
Right, Mary?
Yes?
Who provides the voice of Votan?
Ooh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Just Votan. I mean, there's no credit for him. It's just Anne Votan.
Anyone?
No.
No.
Gerald Taylor.
Ah.
I seem to recall about this time last time everybody was telling me off for doing difficult ones.
You said they were easy just a minute ago.
I know.
Yeah, you did.
I down them. I'm like, oh, okay. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What does the doctor suggest they keep open?
I know.
Their eyes, the weather eyes.
Yeah, ding.
Yes.
Okay, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to War Machine 3?
That's the one that's, it goes totally disabled, it's knocked out completely, it's totally dysfunctional, it's, it stops working, it stops working.
That's the longest answer I've ever heard.
I know,
I think I could give you 1 point, but we didn't get the whole answer. Anybody got the whole answer why it's out of action?
No.
I've got character.
The electromagnetics in him or something like that.
It's right outside with the will to live that went a long time ago.
I'll give Andy a point, but it was out of action by not being completely programmed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was War Machine 3.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Which was sometimes labelled 9.
Yes. Depends where you were. Okay, Adam?
Yes?
What should the public not do under any circumstance?
I know.
Go outside.
No.
Go out the doors and attempt to challenge them or fight them.
I'll give you that. It's attack or impede the machine.
I thought it was attack or impede machines.
Yeah.
Which is essentially going outside, which they'd have to go outside to do that.
Except you always bother us. You get mad if we don't use the exact words, and those are the exact words.
No, I don't.
Yes.
only in script-related episodes.
I'm serious, for not using the right words.
Those are not the exact words.
Yeah. Mary.
Yes?
How does the Doctor neutralize War Machine 9?
Oh, that's where he interferes with the electromagnetic controls. Yes?
Yes. I'll give you that, yes.
Puts him in a boxing ring.
Yeah, there you go. Bing!
Okay.
Okay, Kirby.
Oh, that's a strange echoing noise.
You went blank there for a second. Say again.
Sorry. Name 2 of the major computers Votan is due to take over.
I know one of them.
Cape Kennedy, Parliament, Eldo, Telstar, White House.
Yeah,
excellent. Yeah. Except to smart
sorry,
ass, isn't it?
Efter, yes. Andy.
Yep.
What ship does Ben belong to?
Oh, I know that one.
No idea.
I haven't made any notes, so I'm completely,
Who said?
I did.
Mary.
I think Mary said first.
Okay, Mary?
The HMS teaser, it looked like.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. But I haven't had any notes. I'm at a disadvantage here, you know.
Because you don't have any notes.
Well, I don't have any notes.
Okay, Adam, yes. This is...
Did you watch it?
Uh-oh, uh-oh. Listen to who's coming up with excuses now.
Who, me?
Yeah!
Well, I was going to do a quiz on General Doctor Who, so I didn't think I had to make notes. Carry on. Sorry, Debbie.
Adam, your question?
Yes.
What does Kitty describe the Doctor as being?
Old duffer.
Anyone?
Is he groovy?
No. Like that disc... Remember. He looks like that disc jockey, is what she says to Ben.
Oh! yeah. And
do we
I
have
think
a
these
free rule? Or shall we just... leave it at that. It's up to you, because I've run out of questions, but I can always make some up.
No, it's all right, we'll leave it at that.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Okay, right, okay. In last place...
Yeah!
With joint last place is Andy and Adam with 2.
Oh.
In second place is Mary with 7. And Kirby is in first place with a very creditable 13.
Hey.
Wow, that's the first time I've won in how long?
Ben, Adam predicted that you'd win, so he doubles his points before.
Oh, no. Wait, I thought we were going to do the doubling thing.
I know, but I thought it'd be funny
to
say.
Well, that's going
to
have an impact, isn't it? Doubling it from 2 to 4 when you're chasing somebody who's in the bloody team.
Yeah. I thought we'd do it. Okay.
And Andy, you let me down.
I'm sorry.
So Kirby won, as I suggested he would. After this is the third time, obviously. The third time we've reviewed this story on this podcast.
It's brilliant.
Can we do it again in a couple of years and so I can win again?
Anyway, there's not much time left on the show because I really should get to bed. Well, there is a bit of news.
Just looking at
it.
Robert Banks Stewart has passed away at the age of 84. Robert Banks Stewart was the creator of the brilliant Zygons. Yeah, that's all I can say about that, really.
He was brilliant.
He was. did the Caesar Doom as well, apparently.
It's been a hell of a week, isn't it? We've lost David Bowie and... Alan Rickman, guy who voiced Robin Hood.
Yeah, and also it's becoming the year of death, 2016 at the moment.
Yes, I put up a meme of, the guy who writes Game of Thrones.
Mm.
I put up that 2016 is being written by him this time.
Yeah.
Killing all our, George R.R. Martin is killing off all our favourite characters.
Just
there's
gone
not
past.
A lot of Doctor Who news at all.
There isn't.
No, Top's Doctor Who's trading cards.
That's it, that's all I'm going to say. R.I.P. R.B.S. So, has anybody got anything else to add? Because
I went to another master.
What?
Master?
Yes.
I went to another event with the Earth Station One podcast.
Oh,
last
there
night.
We go. The divorce
and
is starting to happen, isn't it?
And well, this wasn't a recording or anything. It was just a party, a games night. But I wore my shirt.
Oh, good boy!
My
good boy.
20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Did you wash it in between wearings?
Yes.
Is anybody asking you about it?
No, because all of them know about the podcast. Most of them are listeners anyway.
No, yeah,
they
right.
They already know we're amazing. It's fine.
Anyway, well, thank you, Kirby. So, Debbie, I can't be bothered to do the sponsorship. You can do it this week. I'm going to sit back and put my feet up. You carry on.
I'm looking at who wants to... Shut up.
I'm just sitting back in the chair.
How rude.
It's a creaky chair. Pretty much, it's just... Stated Decay is out on CD. Jeffrey Beavers is reading this, one of my favourites. Although I do really want to try and find the Tom Baker one that's not on cassette, that's on something other format that I can listen to. DWM495.
Asta? Yes.
Asta? Do they have hardware stores on the Isle of Wight where you could get some oil?
No, we have a thing called WD-40. It's a bloody sight more useful than oil, and I don't want to squirt it and ruin the mechanism of my chair. Carry on, David. I'm just going to have a shave.
It's not really that much. There's a...
What? What is
Who's
that?
Shaving?
Just having a quick shave. Carry on.
Is he shaving?
It's a PC. Nothing.
Carry on.
Moving on. You
can't any more unorthodox.
In the vase.
Carry on. Or not?
Okay.
It's quite an important piece of the show.
What are you doing?
He's trying to wind me up because he doesn't want me to run the show in any way.
Are we still on Who Won? Have we moved on to the rest of it?
We've moved on to Lavazzi.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Mind boggles. I've just lost this completely.
Don't be respectful to our sponsors.
Yeah, I think Adam's trying to get
I'm just sitting back and listening to Debbie doing talking about.
I'm trying to sit back and listen to you. And everybody has been going, ooh, what's that on there? Oh, is that a TARDIS? I didn't peg you as a geek. It's like, well, I wear glasses. I have a TARDIS
key.
They
know how intelligent you are.
They're like, oh, is it any good? And I'm like, do you not watch TV? Yes. How have you missed Doctor Who? So, you know, I'm going to try and quietly put it in. And at work, I try and, you know, it's been very cold on the shop floor, so I snuck my scarf down onto the shop floor and wore it while it was warming up in there the other day. And people were going, oh, can I buy that from here? It's like, no, but you can go to Lavazzi and get it there. So I had to quickly take it off. But unfortunately, the question mark umbrellas are still sold out.
Mine's left at work. I'm a bit worried about it at the moment.
Oh, God, you can do that. Oh, no. Mm. And they've sold out of the fourth Doctor shorter scarf as well. But, no, they're all still fabulous. And hopefully Who Won usually about this time of year doesn't have too much in the offing. But hopefully they'll get more bits and bobs in soon. But there you go.
What about Audible, Deb?
Okay.
Audible.
Okay.
And Audible. Is it .co.uk or .com?
Is that it?
Is it audible.co.uk or .com?
.co.uk.
Okay, and you can go on to them. And have they still got their initial opening offer on? Because I'm trying desperately to find the page and it's not coming up. But go there. They've got some really good books. You can listen to some really good Doctor Who and just get yourself on there. And if you've got time to listen in the car, listen to them.
What she forgot to mention was that if you go on to the audible.co.uk/20MB, as Kirby keeps saying to say, 20MB, 20 megabyte, you will get the option for a free trial, limited free trial.
Well, there you go, that's what I was
asking.
Where
you get a free audio book, yes. That's it, that's all I wanted to say.
I've now got lightning maps up, I don't know how that happened.
Pardon?
I've got the app, you can track lightning.
Cool, I like lightning. Anyway, right then, so next week we're looking at a story I've been looking forward to seeing for quite a while, The Smugglers. Now, I was thinking about recording on Sunday, but then I was thinking about recording on Monday the 25th. It's Robert Burns night on Monday the 25th
Yay,
of January.
Haggis time!
And I thought if I record on Monday, hopefully they won't roster me into a work shift that as they have done tomorrow, and I'll get to sit next to Debbie Melrose while podcasting.
I'm working 12 till 4 that day, but I can come
back. Master?
Oh, God.
Can anyone hear me?
Unfortunately, yes.
You're kind of blasting.
Well, I was trying to say something a while back. Could anyone hear me, like, 2 minutes ago?
I don't know. I can't remember. It's all a bit of a blur.
Nope. Okay. It was weird.
Was it anything interesting?
Is your phone service that bad too?
No, I tried a different microphone and it apparently wasn't working.
Was it? Wasn't it? Oh, I'll fix it. There we go. Is it working now? I just sonic'd it.
Okay.
Did it work?
I don't know. I'll have to put that microphone back in, but I'm not going to do it right now.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be a good idea. There you go. Sonic'd it again.
I assume that you were trying to set up the time for next week?
Yeah, I was just considering doing it on Monday the 25th of January, so I'll get to sit next to Debbie.
What time?
Mandy, sorry, mate. It'll be about 10 a.m. Oh, God, what are you doing at 10 a.m.? You're working, aren't you?
I'll be at work, yeah.
Oh, do it Sunday then. Go on then.
No, do it Monday. It's okay. Do it Monday. If you want to do it Monday, it's fine. I mean, I can't, you know, don't build it around me.
I think Kirby and Mary would rather you did it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's true.
All right, we'll do it on Sunday. Whatever.
But I don't like to deprive, you know, of his desire to sit next to Debbie.
Well, I'd love to sit next to Debbie. Doesn't happen very often now.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway.
He must be whacking him on the arm and telling him.
You do not whack me on the arm. Anyway, right. So until next week, when that will be the 24th of Sunday, the 24th of January, when we will do the Smugglers. Thank you for listening to the show, even though you can't be asked to send in feedback. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
Fancy Pants.
Bye now.
Don't have to repeat yourself.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Okay, if you press stop, can I try that other microphone again?
What if I haven't pressed stop?
I'll try my other microphone again anyway.
Is it gone?
No.
Well, it's gone.
Is that fixed it? By the way, this is a fourth Doctor Sonic screwdriver. It should be really good.
Can anyone hear anything?
Yes, I can, but it's not
like
as good.
Speaking through a toilet door.
You're quieter.
It sounds like you swallowed the phone and we can hear you talking through your chest or something like that.
Okay, that didn't seem to work.
Well, that's much better. Why don't you stick with that one?
What are you doing right now? Sounds very good.
Yeah, why don't you stick with that? That option.
Not use the microphone. Oh, well.
No. Obviously, the microphone that you're currently speaking through is much better than the one you had attached.
Yes.
It's probably just my phone microphone.
Yeah, that's fine then.
Yeah, that's fine. You sound good.
Yeah, well, it was like that. We can understand what you're saying.
The other one I was trying to use was a telephone handset, which is kind of cool.
Okay. I've got to go to bed.
Why?
Because I've got to get up at half past four tomorrow morning.
Get up early, and I sympathise with him, because I usually do too.
Tom's which got is, to get up at like four.
Which is in 7 hours' time.
Yes. Tom wakes up at four, and Isla hears him get up and goes, oh, it's time to get up. He's like, oh, early start then.
Okay, so...
No, so he's steady on, Kirby.
I'm going to try to start... with my computer, and if that fails, I will.
Which it's going to do, let's face it.
I did some research into getting better internet. I can't do it yet.
So use your phone, yeah. If you can do it, use your phone, and it doesn't cost you much, then it's fine.
It's not going to cost anything.
Oh, good. Well, use it then. Anyway, I'm going to go to bed. Thanks for coming in with me this week. I've done that bit, haven't I?
Yeah.
Bye.
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 Are we still here?
No, I'm hanging up.
Okay.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an apcservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, UK and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.